This podcast is part of the Bomb Pod Media Network.
Hey friends, welcome to another Bomb.com episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel and I have my lovely bestie here with me, Miss Marie Rose. And tonight we are bringing you part two of Mirrors. As if part one was not creepy enough. But tonight we have some good stories for you and some experiences from people that have encountered some creepy ass mirrors. But before we get into that, guys, we do want to take a moment to be a little serious and this is a little tough, but I just want to send love and light to everybody in Las Vegas. Terrible tragedy that happened there. A lot of lives lost, a lot of lives changed forever. And it's, senseless acts for sure. There's no understanding or justifying what has occurred. But for everyone there, we just really want you to know. We just really want you to know that we love you. We're thinking of you. You're not alone. And our country bands together to be by your side and cry with you and laugh with you. Love is always stronger. And I believe in the human spirit. I really do. So love and light to everybody in Las Vegas. Love and light and, continued prayers to everyone that was in the path of Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Maria and the earthquakes that have hit Mexico. We are thinking of you guys always, all of you. We love you very, very much. So with that, I do want to say we do have some new iTunes reviews. And oh my gosh, you guys, we are so, so thrilled and honored that you guys are taking time to get out there on iTunes and leave us reviews. So we have some new ones from Mike Higginbotham, Superman 701, Podcast Lover 121, Carrie Sims, Joel H, MarlarHouse.com, Murkification, and Nalexander 13 Dayton. Sorry about that. Thank you guys so, 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 so much. The subscription to the show is so important. The iTunes reviews equally as important. It really does help new listeners to find us and to keep the show growing in the best way possible. So we really appreciate when you guys do that for us. So you guys, I've talked about my Bomb Pod family a lot in the last few weeks, and I promise it's only because I am so excited that they have invited us to be part of the group. So if you haven't checked out Bomb Pod Media yet, please do. You can check out the group at bombpodmedia.com. And on Twitter, it is at bombpodmedia, on Facebook at bombpod. And check out like all the amazing podcasts, you guys. I mean, Stat and 36 Times, the Brohio podcast, Gone Cold, the Higher Side Chats, Hillbilly Horror Stories, Mysterious Radio, This Week in True Crime History. I mean, there are so many amazing, stellar freaking podcasts that are part of this group, you guys. So make sure you check them out because they're so incredible. And we really, really, really are excited, super excited to be part of the Bomb Pod Media family. So with that, you guys, we are in October. It is my favorite month. I know I've talked about this already, but I just got to say it because I got to sing it from the rooftops. I freaking love Halloween. And so we are now in episode two of our Halloween specials, and this is an off schedule episode because I love Halloween and I twisted my good friend's arm and she agreed. So we're bringing you episodes two times a week, Tuesday and Thursday, for the entire month of October. So you guys tune in, and if there's anything you want us to cover, make sure you let us know at the medium matters or on Twitter or Facebook at Media Matters, and we'll make sure that we get that stuff going just for you. So again, you guys, please make sure you subscribe to the show and leave us an iTunes review. If you want to, I mean, only if you want to, you can throw a 5-star review up there. It's all good. We're not going to judge you for it. But please make sure that you guys do leave us an iTunes review, because it really does help the show to grow. Also, we do have our Patreon page up. If you go to patreon.com/themediamatters, you will find the page for the show. If you guys have any rewards that you would like to see up there, make sure you let me know at the medium at the Media Matters, or you can find me on Twitter or Facebook and let me know there. But we do have some cool rewards up. But again, if you guys want to see some other stuff up there, please make sure you let me know. What is Patreon? It is a really cool way to help artists grow. It's a place where you can help fund the show, because it takes a lot of money to keep these shows going. There are monthly expenses and weekly expenses and annual expenses. And on top of that, if we have some extra money, because, you know, artists are poor, we can do extra special stuff for you guys, and we can upgrade the equipment, and we can get better software, and we can get merchandise like t-shirts and hoodies and stickers and whatever. And we can go to those cool places that we talk about and do some on-site investigations and so, so, so much more. So check us out, patreon.com/themediamatters. So with that, you guys, let's get down to part two of Mirrors and bring the freaking creep. So we do have a few stories that we found that we want to read to you guys.
Tell me a story.
It was a dark and stormy night.
I'm getting on my beanbag and I'm curling up and I'm listening to Aunt Chantel tell a story.
And I have my popcorn. Okay, so you guys, here's the first one that I found. And I might butcher this name, and I'm super sorry to whoever you are. I don't mean it. So this is about someone named Joseph and someone named Satyrus, I believe is her name. Anyway, so Joseph and Satyrus found a large Victorian mirror in the dumpster outside of their London flat. Marie is seriously looking at me like she is in the story circle at the library. Cross your legs and put your dress down. Oh, God. Did you hear that when you were little? Did people say that to you? Like the mom or the aunts or whatever?
No.
Really?
No.
I still, to this day.
It was more of, Marie, be quiet.
To this day in my family, the aunts and like the cousins and everybody always tell like the little girls, put your legs down and pull down your dress. Because, you know, little kids.
Right.
They're all over the place. Anyway, back to Joseph and Sotiris. Again, I'm sorry if I butchered that. So anyway, they find this Victorian mirror in a dumpster just outside of their London flat. And a flat, you guys, is also an apartment, in case you don't know. A little education. So they thought when they found this thing that they were super lucky and hit the jackpot. Little did they know.
Big mistake.
Right. It's in the dumpster.
For a reason.
Yes. Yes. And I bet, it's not in the story, but I bet that it was wrapped with a crucifix and a warning note, and they ripped it off in excitement. So anyway, the antique mirror was beautiful with a thick walnut border. They believed it would be great, or it would look great, hung over the radiator in their apartment. Because that's where I hang stuff. It's right over my radiator. So anyway, you guys, not long after they hung up the mirror, strange things begin to occur to both of them. So Satyrus is, you know, not a she, but he. So sorry about that. So Satyrus found himself suddenly waking up in the middle of the night with stabbing pains shooting through his entire body. Joseph, usually a very happy 20-year-old student, found himself feeling incredibly depressed and void of energy.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sounds like late nights out.
Right. Somebody needs to hydrate.
Right. Have a Snickers. There she goes. Okay. So at first, neither of them made any correlation between their mental and physical symptoms and the mirror. That is, until Satyrus decided to paint the walnut frame a bright silver. After that, their problems only escalated. And I wonder if that's like when someone goes in and renovates a space, And then suddenly there's all this paranormal activity. Because you know what I mean? Things, like you disturb stuff and...
Right. Things weren't the way they remembered it. And you moved the door. <They're pissed. laughs> You moved the door.
You moved the mirror.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what they did. You frightened me. So Joseph began to experience the same sharp pains that Satyrus felt during the middle of the night. Objects began to go missing, such as keys and documents. And you know where they found them? Under my bed, on top of the Ouija board.
I was about to say, under the bed.
And that's when Joseph began to notice strange movement coming from the mirror. It began one day when he was alone in the flat. He'd been walking down the hall towards his bedroom when he caught movement in the mirror's reflection out of his periphery. That is always such a hard word for me.
Peripheral vision.
Peripheral. Dark shadows seemed to flicker and move on the glass surface, even when Joseph stood completely still. That's the crap right there that I'm talking about. I'm like, no. Immediately no. Take that thing, put it back in the dumpster that you found it in. Dang it. And stop touching stuff. So the two friends confronted their landlord about the mirror and soon discovered that it had once been his.
Mm-hmm. He put it in the dumpster.
Right. And if I were the landlord, I'd be like, what in the hell are you doing with that thing? I threw it away.
Right.
This is not finders keepers.
It was in the dumpster for a reason.
Right. And now you get what you deserve. Mm-hmm. When they asked if he wanted the mirror back, I hope he flipped them off.
I hope he gave him the look.
And ran. I mean, like, you know?
How stupid are you?
Right.
I hope he gave them that look.
Right. Listen, like, Marie.
Are you serious?
I found this mirror in your trash, and I have these stabbing pains in the night, and I see shadows in it. Want it back?
You want this mirror back that you threw in the trash?
Right. Had the crucifix on it? No. What the hell, man? Do you want it back? I might evict them just for that crap.
Young and stupid.
Two are idiots. Get out of here. So here's what he did. He quickly shot them a look and shook his head. And he said, I don't want S to do with that mirror. He didn't really say that. He said, I don't want anything to do with that mirror.
Oh, I have a feeling it's closer the way you said it the first time.
Oh, I agree. I mean, landlord threw it out for a reason.
Right.
Not because it was pretty, but because, you know.
Yeah, no. So he was having issues. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they've dealt with the landlord, or the landlord dealt with them, however you want to see it. So it didn't take long for the nightmares to begin. Joseph even began to fear being in the apartment by himself. He was certain that something malevolent was there with him, draining him of his happiness and energy.
Sounds right.
And Marie says, hydrate. Hydrate, Joseph. So Satyrus began to theorize that something awful had happened in front of the mirror and it had somehow managed to absorb the negative energy from the event, which, believable. I can buy that.
Yeah.
He became convinced that someone had once been murdered in front of its glass surface, and now the mirror brought nothing but discomfort and despair wherever it was. When the radiator and landline, mysteriously stopped working, the two friends begrudgingly realized that their troubles were only going to escalate. So, the mirror is now causing things to not work. It cut off the phone, and the radiator ain't working. Not cool.
No, and not that's cool, mirror. And that's a problem in London.
Sure, yeah. It's a problem anywhere. You're messing with my stuff now.
It's getting cold.
Yeah.
I need the radiator.
Now we got beef.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now we fight. Mm-hmm. I'm coming at you. It's what's going to happen.
Go back in the dumpster.
I need my phone line.
Yeah. Back to the dumpster. Maybe in a dumpster on the other side of town.
Right. I'm talking like another city. Put it on a ship bound for another country.
right? Mm-hmm. Get rid of it.
Or you can bury it under like a pyramid or like deep, deep in the sea. Weigh it down. It swims with the fishes.
A gangsta mirror.
I know. So these geniuses decided to put the mirror on eBay with full disclosure as to what had been happening to them. Do you think that it sold? I'm going to say yes.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. There's enough some crazy dumb
people.
Dumb.
Yeah. There's enough crazy people out there who will bid on that.
Mm-hmm.
What'd they get?
It doesn't say. So the mirror did go to the highest bidder, and the two friends are certain that a feeling of lightness and hope has flooded back into their apartment once again. They hope that whoever has the mirror now is well-trained in the paranormal and will not experience what they endured while the Victorian mirror was in their home.
I know who bought it. Somebody who was about to get divorced and bequeathed it to their ex. Here, you can have this.
This is my parting gift.
Here, you take this brand new mirror that I bought and I'll take the dining room set.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think the conversation went like this. I got you this lovely haunted mirror. You'll sleep so well with stabbing pains.
It was... Oh my goodness.
It was like that fine print, except in like the hush tone.
Right.
That's a genius idea.
Yeah, if you really don't like somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Stuff like that, karma gets you.
Oh, it does.
Karma gets you.
It does. But here's what I would do if I gave someone such a mirror. I would put a nice mirror, like at the entrance of like my home or office or wherever like this person might walk into, so that it reflects that negative energy right back out.
And you make a nice mirror?
Mm-hmm. I'll make a nice mirror.
How do you make that mirror nice?
I can't tell because I don't know.
Is there any such thing as a nice mirror?
Yes, mine has hearts.
And rainbows and unicorns.
And ponies. Yeah. So, okay, that they got it out of the trash and then ended up selling this crap on eBay and someone freaking bought it knowing. I mean, people.
All right. So the buyer of this mirror, if you bought a mirror on eBay with the silver paint over the walnut frame,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We need to hear from you.
I don't know that I want to.
Kind of crap has happened to you since you bought this mirror?
I mean, they were nice enough to fully disclose.
And why did you buy this
mirror? Yes, why indeed?
Full disclosure.
Although, listen, some people have, such as the Warrens, Ed and Lorraine Warren, and others have like a little museum of
creepy, you know, things.
Yes, that is the official term. Yes. But yeah, they've got crap that's, you know, has attachments to it and whatever. And, you know, so maybe it was one of those things where they were like, oh, it's maybe safer in our museum.
I suppose.
Have you been to my museum?
Oh, you mean the one that has the two mirrors in it?
You've not been to it because I don't freaking have one. I just can't do it. I would love to go to the Warrens Museum, though.
Oh, good Lord.
Annabelle is there. Annabelle, you know Annabelle.
I need all my protection charms.
And then triple that. That's what, right? I would do. I would put crosses in my shoes. In my bra. Everywhere. Crosses.
Oh yeah.
In any event. So you guys, here's the next story. So it goes a little like this. I had a friend from Mexico that one day purchased an old Victorian-sized wall mirror from an antique store, and the seller told him a few warning signs before taking the mirror home. What in the H is up with these Victorian mirrors? Stop buying
mirrors. I don't want one.
Right. If it does not come in a brand new package from Target, don't buy it.
Right.
Or IKEA, whatever. So he said the mirror must always remain covered during the night.
Okay.
Which, I mean, that's fair. Even a brand new mirror, you should cover it.
Yeah, I do that.
Right. So once my friend got home with the mirror, he admired his reflection before covering it up, like a bird does.
I'm so pretty.
I know. Look at me. When dusk approached and his room started to get dark, he swore he heard someone knocking inside the covered mirror. So he followed the rules and he covered it. And then he hears the knocking. And I would say this. Hell no. Because immediately I'd be like, I don't need that room. I'm just going to close it up and leave.
Stay the night somewhere else. Come back in the morning and have the mirror removed.
Right. Because in this case, he was curious. And what happens? What is curiosity? It
kills the cat.
Yes, it does. So he uncovered it. And then he says that some crazy crap went down. What are you doing?
My stomach's growling.
I was like, do you have a stabbing pain? Is it the eBay mirror?
I'm trying to make it stop.
So he says his reflection was the one knocking through the other side of the mirror with a twisted smile. Creepy. Mm. Creepy. So my friend got scared and he tried to run, but he was paralyzed. So I can see that. You're paralyzed with fear. You're seeing your reflection. It's not your reflection so much because now it has a creepy, creepy look on the face.
Your evil side.
Mm-hmm. So he says his reflection tried to get out of the mirror as he struggled with it. And according to him, he never experienced something so evil like this reflection before. While struggling, he says the reflection tried to get him into the mirror world, but only succeeded halfway. I don't know what that means. Was it hips up? Was it hips or ankles? I don't understand.
Left side, right side. Right. Doing the hokey pokey with the mirror.
He took me in the arms. I don't know. I don't know. So in any event, he saw how it was inside the mirror. Everything was inverted backwards. So I wonder if it was like the upside down from Stranger Things.
Could be.
Have you seen Stranger Things? No.
No.
So he was so scared, he started to pray and got the strength to wrestle with his reflection and got out of the mirror and out of his bedroom. That's wise.
Right.
I mean, his first mistake and the obvious one, he went and checked things out. You never check it out.
His first mistake was bringing the dang thing home.
Oh, true. Oh, I really messed that up. That's so true. So he went running to my house, white as a sheet of paper, and told me what happened. We chatted all night since we didn't have the guts to go back. Next morning, we went to my friend's house and destroyed the mirror. We burned it, said a few prayers, and everything went back to normal. Listen, that's what I'm talking about right there. If you make such a mistake, do it all. Do it all. Exercise the thing. Like, you know, don't take it for a run, but get rid of the angry spirits. Like burn it, char it, drown it, whatever.
I also heard that you can put it in the sun. Let it sit in the sun and let the sun beat on it all day.
The sun is very purifying.
Yes.
It's very cleansing. So we actually have a friend, Marie and I, who, and I would love for her to tell this story on her own. But so our friend who took the, who did the Reiki class with us had some experiences with a mirror in her room. Do you remember all the details, Marie?
I think it was a friend of hers that had this mirror and
With the bureau.
And it was, you know, had carvings on the frame. It was beautiful and all this stuff. And there was activity with the mirror and or there was previous activity. She knew of the activity, but she brought it home anyway. Mm-hmm. And
it was she had gotten it from someone that was that had gotten divorced or like it had some negative energy attached.
Right,
from.
But she put it in the sun and she did all the for some reason she wanted this mirror. She took all the precautions, and there was a face carved into the frame of the mirror, And but she covered it up at night. She held, you know, crosses against it during the day. I mean, it was, there was no activity. She had pretty much taken care of the problem. But she had friends come over who had a very mischievous little boy. And he looked at the mirror, noticed the carvings of the face in the mirror, and asked about it. And her response was, "Yes, that is the spirit of the last bad little boy that came to my house." She said through the rest of the trip, he behaved. He sat at the table. He didn't talk back to anybody. And he was the golden child for the rest of the trip.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think that's pretty funny.
That is. But prior to that, I know she was having a lot of trouble where she wasn't sleeping well. She wasn't. And this is, you know, she had already brought the bureau and the mirror home. And there was a lot of activity going on in her room, because I remember her telling us that, like, she had the cross standing up in front of the mirror, like, facing it, and it would fall over.
Yes.
And this is at night. Like, the mirror is freaking covered up, and she's got, like, she is, like, she has...
She's doing all the right things to protect. Right.
She's got all the protection. And in the night, the freaking cross would fall over, and she'd get up, go put it back, like, stand it back up in front of the mirror, and the thing would fall over again. She had, like, two or three of them.
Yeah, something's fighting it.
Yeah. And... So I remember her telling us about this, and we're all sitting there like, you know, mouth gaping open going, what the hell? And I mean, there was some other stuff going on. I can't remember. But then it comes up in conversation. I don't know if it was her. And she's like, it's always dark in my room. Do you think maybe I should open the curtains? And we all, I remember us like all whipping our heads over to her, and we're like, what the hell? Like, yes. Open the freaking curtains. Like, let that crap in, man.
Let the sun shine in.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So I don't remember ultimately. Like, I think in the end she was like, I've had it. You know, I'm going to cleanse this thing and get rid of it because it's just been way too much. So,
right.
But that was, it was crazy to hear that. I know she had a lot of stuff going on. So anyway, Marie Rose, you're up.
Okay. So I found a really creepy story from an investigator in Canada. He found this family that they felt they were under attack by spirits, and felt that it had to do with an antique mirror that they had brought into their house. It was in their bedroom.
God, these antique mirrors.
I know, right?
They're killing me.
So there was thumps in the house, knocking, and things like that. So the members of the family, the homeowner, decided to start carrying a camera. Everywhere he went in the house, he always had the camera. And so that
sounds exhausting.
So that he could, whenever things happened, he would just start photographing in hopes of catching something. And that is how they narrowed it down to the mirror in the bedroom. Because in one of the photographs, the mirror displayed a reflection that was not a reflection of the room.
Nope.
Yeah. So they studied the image in the mirror, and it was a woman in an old style dress coming down a fancy staircase. And there were two open doors, one of which there was a tall man in a black suit that stood in one of the doorways, but his back was to the camera, and there was a small child that was holding a doll looking up at this man.
No.
Mm-mm. So there's no staircase in this room, and no doors, and no child, and no man. So they couldn't figure out why this reflection was in the mirror. So after the investigator studied it for a few months, studied surrounding buildings, and lo and behold, there was a townhouse about 1,000 feet away from this main house that was the perfect replication of this reflection. Same stairway, same two doors, exact match. So they decided to cover the mirror with a thick black cloth to close that doorway. And then things started to calm down. I mean, yes, there was some knocking, but eventually stopped. It's like they had closed off that exit, closed off that portal, so to speak. Something had happened in that other house. They moved the mirror to the main house. And
there they go again, crap.
Yeah, there goes.
Stop touching stuff.
So something happened. That mirror was definitely a portal. Mm-hmm. And they covered it and basically shut that portal off.
Now then, what would happen if they put the cover on the mirror and the entity was not in the mirror and it was in the room?
And they trapped it. They trapped it in the room. Mm-hmm. Well,
did that happen?
No.
Oh.
It's a what if.
It's like, oh,
you
God.
You open the windows mm-hmm. and the sunlight in, and you sage that room and mm-hmm. get that entity out of there.
Get it out.
Yeah, that's why it goes out the open windows and not back in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. That's crazy. That is insanity. How it reflected its original home.
That was 1,000 yards away.
I know. I did not care for that. That's a little creepy. Okay, so the next one we have, you guys. This is about Myrtle's Plantation. You've heard of Myrtle's Plantation.
Is that Myrtle Beach?
Yes. No. Myrtle Beach.
Shift.
Okay. So most people who have a deep interest in the paranormal have heard of the infamous Myrtle's Plantation in Francisville, Louisiana.
Louisiana has a lot of ghosts.
Oh my God. Yes. Okay, there's a part of me that wants to do like a tour in Louisiana. And there's a big part of me that's like, don't do it. Well, you know, do it, but make sure you're sopping wet with holy water.
Right.
Like, you know, hair dripping and I'm a little afraid. I'm not going to lie. As much as I feel like I've really gotten good at protecting myself,
sometimes there's just not enough protection.
There's so much history there. So much history, so much. There's a lot of creepy junk that's gone on there. Like, not even creepy, but like just wicked, like evil stuff.
Well, there's a lot of voodoo over there too.
Mm-hmm. There are some stories of, I mean, I can't think of her name right now, but No.
Yeah. Voodoo, black magic. There's a lot of that over there.
Yeah. I cannot think of her name. I'm going to have to look it up because Hillbilly Horror Stories covered it a few weeks back and it was so good. And I mean, Jerry and Tracy really, really did a great job delivering that one. But they also used that story, part of it, in one of the seasons of American Horror Stories. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yes. And Kathy Bates played the bad lady.
She plays such a good bad lady.
She does. She plays a good anything. She really does.
She's awesome.
Yeah. So in any event, you guys, this story takes place at the infamous Myrtle's Plantation in Louisiana. So the Myrtle's Plantation, this place was built in 1796, and the house has become known as being one of the most haunted historical locations in the South. And frankly, I think anywhere. I mean, there's so many stories that come out of this place. It's not even funny. Will I do an investigation there and sit solo in a room in the dark? F no.
Not solo.
Triple F no. Like, no.
Would you do it if the Ghost Brothers were with you?
I mean, I might do just about anything if the Ghost Brothers are with me. Just about anything. I would go hunt down Dalen's ring. That's what I would do. Just for him. Just to make him happy.
Aw.
So, in any event, some people may not realize, or what they may not realize, is that within the house, this haunted house, is a haunted mirror. And why wouldn't there be? I bet the stairs are haunted. Like, everything has got some crazy energy. I bet. So in any event, in the hallway, across from the large wooden staircase, is a large rectangular window with a gilded gold frame. The mirror has been within the house for well over two centuries, and many eerie stories have surfaced about it. I mean, why wouldn't they? Freaking house is old as hell. So according to one story, Sarah Bradford Woodruff, who lived in the house along with her husband and children during the 1820s, haunts the house and is said to be permanently trapped inside the mirror. So I wonder if someone set up a similar fun house like I did.
That would suck.
That would suck. So the tourists who take their picture in front of the mirror often find strange anomalies in their photographs, like creepy shadows, orbs, you know, what have you. The regular stuff, you know.
The regular creepy thing.
Yeah, the regulars. Some people even claim that they've seen fingerprints and silvery apparitions standing on the staircase reflected within the mirror surface.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Tour over.
All right, but I don't know. I'm going to have to raise the skeptical flag here because when you're carrying, like when you pick up a mirror and you transport a mirror and you don't have it covered up, your fingerprints get stuck on the mirror. What if they're just old fingerprints?
Sorry, those are my dogs. Also, it's indicative of the level of cleanliness that's happening. Your cleaning crew ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
They're so not now, cleaning the freaking glass.
Or they're just not cleaning it well enough. And now you got to flash against the mirror, the silver, and
listen,
the glass.
Listen, you and your fiendish logic.
And now you're getting reflections of the mover's fingerprints.
Right. Right. So, I mean, what about the silvery apparitions?
They press their face against the glass. Here, I'm really going to mess with these tourists.
Oh, God. Okay. I like it. I like it. All right. So the cleaning crew, we've determined, is not doing their job.
Yeah, they suck.
Get on it, y'all. And then someone's pressing their face up against the mirror.
And then when you smudge it, it gives that smudgy face feeling.
It does. Oh, so it looks like a super distorted face.
Right?
Right.
So there you go.
Yeah. Definitely not a pony.
No.
No. Definitely creepy. So some people believe the mirror shows nothing but ordinary reflections. Lame. But there are countless accounts of believers and skeptics alike who have seen something paranormal in its ancient surface. Today, the Myrtles Plantation is open to tours and also serves as a bed and breakfast.
Let's go.
Yes, please, sign me up.
Let's go.
No, I want to be haunted in the night. I don't get enough of that. If you decide to visit, be sure to have your photograph taken in front of the mirror. But be warned, friends, you may not like what you see.
Well, it's not going to steal my soul, is it?
There's no telling.
There's no soul stealing going on here.
There's nothing in this story that says that.
Okay.
So take your soul with you at your own risk.
So camera flash, okay. Mm-hmm. Candle, no.
Mm-mm. Not in a dark room.
Okay.
Or ever. I don't. It's not okay.
No, ever.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So our next story. I was at Marie's house. Just kidding. She got real serious for a minute. Okay. So Greg Newkirk has always had a profound interest in the paranormal. Do you know Greg? Remember Greg?
We met him last week.
Yeah. So over the years, he began to research and track down various objects that others had deemed as haunted. So this is like what we were talking about earlier, where some people collect stuff, like in the eBay story.
Okay.
It might be Greg.
Damn it, Greg. We told you.
So when Greg had collected a sufficient number of items, he, along with his wife Dana, formed the Traveling Museum of the Paranormal and Occult. Because why wouldn't you?
How much does he charge, I wonder?
Not enough. That's what I'm thinking. Essentially, Greg and his wife travel around the country and display their supernatural findings for anyone who's curious. So I wonder if like people can touch this stuff or... I don't know.
Leave their fingerprints to be photographed.
I'm just going to smudge my face all over this mirror. So a couple of years ago, Greg was contacted by a young woman about a small mirror with black glass. The woman, who wanted to remain anonymous, We'll call her Jezebel.
You're new J names today.
I know. So anyway, Jezebel stated that her mother had acquired the mirror during a psychic expo. Her daughter thought nothing of the purchase until her mom began to act very withdrawn and subdued. When the young woman confronted her mother claimed that it was the mirror's doing and that it was inherently evil. Skeptical, the young woman, aka Jezebel, took the mirror home with her, concerned over her mother's mental health. Despite not believing what her mom had said about the dark mirror, nevertheless, she found herself feeling oddly uncomfortable and uneasy in her home. After a few short days, she contacted Greg and donated the mirror to the traveling museum. That was responsible.
She got rid of it.
Right. And she did it the right way. She didn't throw it in a dumpster where other people might come and take it because they don't know how to leave things alone.
Right.
Stop touching stuff.
Okay. Just so it. She donated it?
Mm-hmm. And at first, Greg kept his distance from the mirror, not because he was afraid of it, but because he didn't want to be disappointed if nothing paranormal occurred. I mean,
damn it, Greg.
Why can't you just let normal be good?
Right.
Why?
Okay.
So oftentimes, the museum has supposedly haunted objects donated to it, but nothing strange ever actually happens. However, since it was newly acquired, Greg brought it along for their next tour. On the first stop in Pennsylvania, a woman immediately picked up the mirror and gazed at her reflection. Within seconds, she had grown extremely pale and had set the mirror down, hastening to cover it up with a piece of cloth. When Greg asked her what she had seen, the woman replied that she'd seen her own corpse in the mirror's reflection. Not okay.
She saw her death.
Not okay. Right. She got strangled by bears. Suffocated. Toys R Us.
Strangled by bears.
The woman then stated that the mirror was dark in nature and that she needed to go pray. Yes, good I agree.
Move. Good yeah. move.
Pray about why your ass is at a haunted expo touching haunted crap.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In any event.
Yeah. Go get cleansed.
Right. Go stand in the sun or sit in a dark room with a mirror and a light.
I choose sun. I choose the sunlight.
I choose the sun too. Confused but excited by such an account, Greg made it a point to carefully observe anyone who grabbed the mirror. Some individuals only saw their reflection, but others had much more ghastly things to report. Another woman in a different location also claimed to have seen her corpse. One man, a supposed diehard skeptic, stated that he had seen his reflection, but that it had turned around and had walked completely out of the frame. No. Again, no. 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 Here, little girl, want to hold this haunted mirror? Yes, please. Hell no. Another woman claimed that when she looked at her reflection, her mirror image had begun to whisper despite the fact that the woman herself never once opened her mouth while gazing into the mirror.
Scary.
Mm-hmm. They had a lot of accounts like that. So Greg and his wife continue to tour with this dark mirror, but the paranormal enthusiast admits that he keeps the mirror covered when it resides in their home. He avoids looking at the mirror at all costs. The mirror itself seems to want to draw Greg in, but he has always resisted gazing into the glass surface head on. So, I don't know if he's standing off to the side trying to look at it. I don't know.
He's got that thing probably covered mm-hmm. and lock and key. And
yeah. He has become convinced that whatever the mirror wants to show him, it will not be pleasant, which I agree. So, that was a condensed version of that story because, I mean, they go on to explain all the different places they've been to and the different experiences that people have had and how over time, like initially the mirror wouldn't do anything. Like he set it, you know, in the living room with some other stuff and there was no activity. And then as they went on these tours for people to see, you know, the collection they had, they would come back home, set it up, and then slowly things started to happen where like he started to cover it up at night. And some mornings he would come into the living room and the thing was uncovered. And then some of the other collection items that were in the living room, you know, with the mirror or, you know, in the vicinity of the mirror, those things that had been dormant started to act up.
So it's a little troublemaker. Mm-hmm. It stirs the pot.
Right. So the theory is that this thing is like a battery. It almost is like, you know,
like an amplifier.
Yeah. It's like drawing energy from people when they hold it. And so, you know, naturally somebody goes up and they already know what's up with the mirror. Like it's supposed to be dark. It's got some energy to it. So I think naturally you kind of walk up to it and you're like, oh God, what am I going to get? So there's like fear and anxiety and it's drawing that in. And I think that's
feeding off that fear.
Exactly. So that's what's feeding it and fueling it. And then it gets around these other things and it starts to give off that energy, you know, thus feeding and fueling these other things.
So I wonder if you were happy, full of sunshine person and positive energy, what will it reflect back? I guess nothing.
Right. Probably nothing. Or you riding on a pony. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he, just like at the end of the story, you know, he did end up taking the mirror and just locking it away, like under heavy lock and key. He said, no. And I have to agree with that. I'm like, hell no.
Yeah. Pack it up with a cross.
Agreed. So, yeah. That is the deliciousness of mirrors. You guys are going to sleep real well.
Yeah. Bottom line, don't mess with them.
No. So if you do, like if you've got some stuff going on with a mirror, what are some things you can do?
Cover it up.
That's it.
Cover it up. Put a cross in front of it or any religious items. Mm-hmm. I've got, you know, like I said, the angel figurine. Mm-hmm. I have a picture of the Last Supper with Jesus. That picture came from my grandmother's house and I'll put that in front of a mirror. So that the reflection is, reflecting in the mirror.
Yeah. That one's in the room where we used to do our Reiki.
That's right. That's right. That's how I kind of block that mirror so that nothing can come in or out when we do our Reiki sessions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would also say, I mean, another thing you can do, we talked about the sun, take the damn mirror, put it outside in full ass sunshine, full blown sunshine all day long. And if you can do that for a few days in a row, do it for a few days in a row, but don't bring it back in the house until you do. Let that thing be cleansed.
Right.
Purified, cleared.
Yep.
Exercised. And then when you bring it back in the house, like Marie said, put some religious
items.
Yeah, religious items in front of it. I would even put crystals on it, dark crystals, obsidian,
protective crystals.
Yes, very protective crystals. I would put them, you know, on top of it, like let them sit at the top of it or whatever. If you have the mirror on a shelf, put the crystals on top and on the shelf right in front of it. Like, I mean, give this mirror a brand new outfit with all the crap you're gonna put on it for protection, because I mean, that's just what you got to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then rule number one, don't go getting mirrors that people have had. Don't do it.
Yeah. Leave that mirror at Goodwill.
Yeah.
Leave the mirror at the antique store.
Yes.
Only buy new mirrors.
Yes. Agreed. From Target or IKEA.
Yeah. 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 You don't want to be bringing home other people's crap.
Mm-mm.
I mean, other people's bad energy.
But, you know, if you are going to get stuff from other people, make sure you are clearing it.
Yes.
Make sure. You can even do that with sage.
Yes.
Smoke. The smoke sage of the it. Sage.
Yep. Sage it.
Mm-hmm. You can do a salt circle around it to keep that energy contained. Clear it. I would throw everything at it. Everything, including gasoline. I would throw it all.
Sea salt. Mm-hmm. Wash it with sea salt.
Mm-hmm. I got a bureau from my mom.
Salt water.
Not long ago. And before she brought it over to our house, she put it out in the sun for an entire day to clear it. And then I saged it when it came home to me. And it's been nothing but cheery. She actually felt like from the time she got it and it was in the house, it was like in the dining room. Mm-hmm. That, you know, the energy just kind of changed in the house. And I had told her what to do. And, you know, I'm like, you know, clear it out. It's obviously in place now, so smudge it and whatever. And, you know, I need to ask her if she ever did any of that stuff. But she always just it never vibed with her. But I can tell you, it's been great here.
Well, it's because you cleared it.
Mm-hmm. Our energy vibes just fine.
That's right.
I think she's very happy to be here. I'm very nice to her. Thank you guys for joining us for another bomb.com and subscribe-worthy episode of The Media Matters. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave us a review on iTunes because, you know, we like to read them. We're not going to judge you if you want to leave us 5 stars. I mean, it's your business, but, you know, we're going to love you regardless, whatever. But we do want to share the love with everyone and make it easier for new listeners to find us. So if they're looking for supernatural content or paranormal content, something about ghosts or Reiki, energy healing, whatever it is, they will find it because your reviews help them. So please make sure that you leave us a cool review on iTunes. Aside from that, you guys, if you want to track us down, we're on Twitter and Facebook at Media Matters. You can also email us at themedium@themediummatters.com. Or check out the website, which is still under a little bit of construction, but we're getting there. The website is themediummatters.com. And again, you guys, if you have any ghost stories, if you have any topic suggestions or questions, feel free to email us. Also, if you guys want to share your stories audibly, please make sure you do, because it's always so much more fun to hear it coming straight from you. So with that, don't forget, we also have our Patreon page that's up now. It's patreon.com/themediummatters. And we love you guys. We appreciate you. Hang in there. We're going to get through this. It's only creepy content. We do love you guys. We appreciate you. Love and light to one and all. Good night, everybody.